Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Chris, what's up? How are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Nothing, man. I keep going back and forth on this Georgia-South Carolina game. Georgia favored by 10 on the road. Are they that much better than the East, or can this be a game? Can South Carolina keep it close?
No, it could be a game. I do think Georgia's clearly the class of the East.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. On both sides of the ball, they've got better depth. But, listen, if you follow this series over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 years, certainly when Georgia has come to Columbia, they've always struggled. This has been a tough game for them. And that environment, you know, it's not a night game. It's one of those mid-afternoon games. But that environment, if Carolina could stay around, is a very, very difficult environment to play in. I think, to me, Carolina's going to do two things. They've got to win the turnover battle by at least two. And they've got to make a big play, a quick strike touchdown. Special teams, Deebo Samuel, or maybe a Deebo Samuel pass. Because Georgia, I think, is too good defensively that Carolina's going to line up and drive the football on them consistently. So I think they got to hit them with one of those chunk plays to loosen them up. I think if they do that and they go into the second half, and it's anybody's game, yeah, I think Carolina's got a chance to beat them. I'm not picking Carolina. I think Georgia's a better team. And, again, I think Georgia running the football, that's the thing. You look at the running stats in this series over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Georgia's just mauled them. If South Carolina can't set the tone early defensively and keep them from running the football, it's probably going to be a long day for the game.
Yeah, I'm going Georgia too, but Deebo for South Carolina, that's the kind of guy, if he just gets loose and has a huge day, I mean, he's that kind of electrifying playmaker that can affect a game and turn a game like that.
Well, go back. I mean, I remember the night game, gosh, was it 12 or 13 that they beat him there in Columbia? I was at the game. Ace Sanders with the punt return.
Yeah.
Early to really sort of throw that game into South Carolina's favor. That type of play, you're right, Brent. Again, whether it's in special teams, whether it's a big pass play. Samuel, I tell you, Debo's healthy. And he's a game changer for South Carolina. He's the kind of guy on offense and special teams that everybody fears. Because you're right, it could be a close game or maybe the momentum's in Georgia's favor. One play changes the game in a hurry. There are not a lot of guys like that. He's certainly that type of player.
Chris Lowe with us at CLOE ESPN on Twitter.
Chris, this is every Kentucky football fan's worst nightmare week. Last year, they just stopped covering guys to let Florida win the game. We got somebody, Gator Mike, a big Gator fan, sent us a tweet earlier.
From the SEC Network. You know what was the number one song on the Billboard pop chart the last time Kentucky beat Florida?
What, something by Captain and Tennille?
Which would have been even better. Amanda by Boston.
Yes. Wow. That takes me back. I might even have an old 8-track tape of Amanda on it somewhere.
I have it on cassette. I know
Crocodile
that.
Dundee was the number one movie. And gas was 89 cents a gallon.
It's been a long time. You know,
it's been a long time.
And the thing that it's got to be even more frustrating for Kentucky, go back the last, I don't know, 5, 6 years, they've had a lot of chances. They've had some big-time chances to beat them. And really, if you go back and watch how those games played out, you sort of scratch your head and say, how did Kentucky not win a couple of those games? Which, that's when you look at these type streaks or droughts, depending on which side of the fence you look at it, and say, yeah, they're different years, different players, different coaches, but at some point it does become mental. It's been a long time. You know, here's the thing with Florida, too. With new coach, having spent a day and a half down there in the preseason, I told you guys this earlier. I think Florida's the team in the league and the SEC that maybe we're probably sleeping on a little bit too much, because as bad a season as they had last year, they had a lot of guys that were either hurt or suspended that are back. Certainly skilled players on offense, and watching them practice, I think those guys are going to be pretty good. They will play better at the quarterback position, Felipe Franks, because of Dan Mullen. I'm not saying he's going to be Tebow or he's going to be you know, that type of player. But he will play better and more consistently, and I bet you he gets better and improves as the season goes on. So Florida's a team, we've heard a lot about South Carolina. We found out a lot more about South Carolina this weekend. But Florida's a team that I wouldn't sleep on because they're good on defense. They've still got a lot of athletes. And I think a lot of those guys that they did that did not play last year for various reasons are back. So I think they're going to, you know, I'd be very, very surprised if they don't pull away and win this game big.
I mean, it sucked for Kentucky last year. They had that thing won a couple of different times, and they just don't cover a wide receiver twice.
Yeah, and go back to the – what was it, the year that – several years ago there in Gainesville where there was a bad – there was a a false start or there was some, there was a questionable call that probably should have been called that went against Kentucky. But they've had some chances. And I know in talking to Mark Stoops about that, yeah, it gets under your skin. And if you want to talk about Kentucky and how long it's been, not just this drought, but to find the last time Kentucky's had a winning record in the conference, not a winning record overall, but in the conference, you go back to this, I think it's 77, you know, the mid-70s, right around 70. It's been a long time. And even some of those teams they had that were good when Rich Brooks was there.
It was the Goose Givens era down there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Goose was golden on the front of Sports Illustrated.
Yep.
I'm really showing my age now, Mickey, but it's been a long time. You know, Vanderbilt's a tough job, but I think when you look at Kentucky, because they probably expect more there at Kentucky, I'm not so sure that Kentucky isn't as tough a job as there is, period, in the SEC.
Chris, what about if you're Jeremy Pruitt, what do you have to see from your team against this opponent?
I tell you what I want to see, Dawn. I want to see a lot of guys play. I want to see my second quarterback play, Chris. I want to see some young guys play and make some plays, get a little, you know, get their feet up under them. Get some confidence. You want to see the defensive line. Here's the thing. You want to see your defensive front get pressure on the quarterback without having to blitz. Because if they can't generate some pressure, I'm talking about some real pressure in this game, that's a bad sign for Tennessee going forward. From the defensive side of the ball, you want to see those young guys in the secondary continue to grow up. But you can't leave them out to dry. You know, if you're going to play three freshmen in the secondary, you darn sure better get your guys up front to get after the quarterback. And that didn't happen last week. So that's the thing I want to see specifically defensively is those guys get pressure. You want to see a lot of guys play, as many as possible, and get some guys in there in a real game and see what they can do.
Gator Mike texted me. He said the play clock supposedly expired.
That's right.
That's right. That's what it was.
And Florida scored on that play. Jeff Driscoll was the quarterback.
That's right. He's exactly right. It went against the Wildcats. Otherwise, they win that game. Off, you know, he's not in shape. And I'm sure he's not in shape. And not just not in shape, but football shape. It's a whole different deal to be in football shape when you haven't come in and been going through the preseason. But in young guys on the team, guys that you know are talented but get to play in these games and before you bring in a Florida a game that's will be huge for Tennessee. I mean that's the kind of game as disappointing as West Virginia was. I guarantee if you give any Tennessee fan a choice before the season, all right, you can win one and lose one. 98.7% would choose, maybe 99.7, will beat Florida. We will take the win over Florida and the loss to West Virginia. So how much better?
I think you can move that to 100%.
Okay, we'll go 100. We'll go 100. But how much better can they get? How much more depth? See, that's the thing Jeremy told me when I spent the day with him a couple of weeks ago on campus. Over and over again, he said, Chris, we got to be able to create and build depth as the season goes on. You know, yeah, we got to do that in recruiting, and you can't do that overnight, but you got to get guys ready. And that happens on the practice field, but it also happens in games, you know, where you find out how guys are going to react, how they're going to respond. But I think along those lines, and I think that's what you're saying, Brent, these next 2 weeks will be critical in that.
Chris, is going to be a good opportunity to see how the Jimbo Fisher era is starting at Texas A&M this weekend. Clemson rolling into College Station.
Double-digit home underdog for Texas A&M.
Yeah, I look forward to that game.
Prime time, 6 o'clock.
I've been in both places. You know, I was at Clemson last weekend, had a chance to spend some time and talk to some folks there, and was at Texas A&M for 2 days in preseason camp. I tell you, Texas A&M up front defensively is pretty good. and not Clemson good, because there are very, very few teams that are Clemson good, the defensive line, but they're good, and they've got a couple guys that will play in the pros. I think they could give Clemson's offensive line some problems and get to Bryant and Trevor Lawrence. They're both going to play. I think that's the, to me, the thing to watch is, can they make some things happen early, get Clemson out of their element? Because if Clemson gets into a rhythm offensively, then look out, you know, because they've got their young receiving core and tight ends. Boy, they're really good. And then we know how good they are defensively. If you don't offensively, let's say Texas A&M, if defensively you're throwing your offense to the wolves against that defense, it's going to be a long day, because, again, they've got four or five pros in the Clemson defensive line. But great environment. That's a great place to play. Tough place to play if you're the visitor. Be interested to see how A&M responds. I think Clemson, you know, the one thing Clemson's done the last couple years is they have lost one game each of the last 2 years that you didn't see them losing. Pitt a couple years ago and then Syracuse last year. Is this that game this year? Because I'm telling you what, if they don't lose this game, I don't see them losing.
Chris, what about Vanderbilt and Nevada? Vanderbilt with a big win last week, obviously, against Middle Tennessee at 35-7. And Nevada coming off a game where they scored 72 points.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to start with regard to Vanderbilt with the story Zach Ellis did on VUCommodores.com. Yes. I would implore all your listeners to go and read Zach's terrific story on Turner Cockrell, the Vanderbilt tight end. He underwent procedure today, battling cancer. Great story. Derek Mason gave him the game ball, dedicated the win to him after the Middle Tennessee State win. He obviously didn't play in the game. He watched the game with Derek's family up in the suite, came down, didn't know any of this was going to happen. And just, again, it's, we hear so much about what's wrong with college football, and there's a lot of bad stories out there, a lot of bad characters, okay? But that's the kind of thing, and this is the kind of story that, to me, much like Landry Ergel and the Ergel family up at Austin Peay, that makes college football so awesome. But go read Zach's story. But certainly prayers, my prayers, and I know a lot of prayers go out to Turner Cockrell as he fights cancer. So that's where I'd like to start with that. But I thought it was a really nice start for Vanderbilt. I don't think anybody thought they were going to beat Middle as badly as they did. There's a lot of new faces. Nevada can score, but, you know, they played Portland State. You know, they scored 72 points on. I don't know if that's much of a gauge. Here's the thing I think is most encouraging about Vanderbilt. Number one, they got six sacks last week. They forced some turnovers. This defense has to be one of those defenses this year that creates more negative plays, sets up the offense, because you know Shermer's capable. He's going to be able to throw it, move the football. I think if you give him some help, give him some short fields where they're not having to drive the distance all the time, that was, to me, as encouraging as anything, what we saw at Vanderbilt last week.
Interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Interesting looking game to me. I think Mississippi State -7 at Kansas State. That doesn't seem like nearly enough points for Mississippi State. I that seems like a game they could go there. I know you know, I know Bill Snyder always has his group ready to play, but do they have the horses to hang within a touchdown of this Mississippi State team?
No, but, you know, I don't think so, Mickey. But the second you doubt Bill Snyder, yeah, you know, somebody rolls up in there and they do a number on them. And we've seen it happen time and time again, especially there in Manhattan. I like Mississippi State a lot, and because they've got the combination that I always look for. They got a quarterback who can beat you a couple of different ways, Fitzgerald, who's back. Remember, he didn't play last week. Yeah. He's back for this game. And they got a defensive front. You know, we talk about Auburn's defensive front, Alabama's, Clemson. Mississippi State's guys up front are right there in that same category. They've got several guys that will play in the NFL. I mean, they are the real deal defensively. So they got that combo, defensive line, quarterback, that I always like. I think Mississippi State, you know, everybody always says, all right, who's the sleeper? Who's the team that maybe could possibly come out and win? I don't think there's enough to win it, but I tell you what, they're a team here.
What about that tight one in Tuscaloosa, Alabama and Arkansas? I'm just kidding.
I hear that. Hey, I hear that Hanson kid's a pretty good player, though, Mickey.
Yeah, he's like a top 15 quarterback or
justice,
so. Justice is served, but yeah, maybe not this Saturday.
Hey, I just hope after this game that he's still upright, because you know they're going to come after him.
But Saban doesn't care about piling on anybody. I wouldn't be surprised if they cover in the game.
Well, they'll try to play a lot of players, but he really, and I was being a little facetious. He's, for those who haven't had a chance to see him play, and granted, he's going to a sword fight with a paper sword in this one. But he can really throw the football, and it's a lot of fun to watch play.
Oh, and they've got some really good wide receivers, too.
This is the only game they won't be favored in, per Phil Steele. He told us that before the season, Ace Day.
Chris, good stuff, man. Have a great weekend, and thanks for the perspective on the Vanderbilt kid.
Hey, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you guys and gals later.
Yes, sir. Thank you.